Turn, if you would, please, to the book of Luke, chapter 10. Luke, chapter 10. We'd like to read verse 38 through verse 42. Luke 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about, much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Life can be difficult at times, can't it? Troubles seem to abound on every side. We have responsibilities, don't we? And no one is exempt. The question is, how will we react to our situation? Will we handle our troubles, or will our troubles handle us? Our text tells us about a woman who loved the Lord, but who had become anxious. She was doing what she knew to do, but she was very agitated. And we are like that way too often, aren't we? It is my objective to look into our text and learn something about anxiety and worry. What does it mean? What lessons might we learn? And how can we resolve our inordinate care? I want to speak to you today from this passage what I've entitled, Are You Careful and Troubled? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the privilege of being in your house, and thank you for those who are able to be here. And Lord, we ask that you would just set our thoughts apart from the cares and the thoughts of the world, that we might dwell upon you, that we might look into your word. We ask that you would teach us and guide us, open up our hearts and our minds, and meet the needs of every heart. We pray if there's anyone here today that is lost, that you would convict them of their sin and draw them to Jesus that they might be saved. And may we who are saved be strengthened. And Lord, cause us as we deal with the issues of life that we might rely upon you. And Lord, we be responsible but not be anxious and upset and worried all the time. And so we leave these things to your hand. We pray for those who could not be with us due to sickness or providential hindrance. We pray that you bless them. And Lord, we just commit this entire service to you, and we love you today, and we honor you, and we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. The text is Luke chapter 10, and my looking at verse 38 through verse 42, as we read through the passage, we see something of this story. The title of my message is, Are You Careful and Troubled? So we want to look at the dialogue, and then we're going to look at the remainder portion of the passage and the lessons that we can learn from it. First of all, as you look into Luke chapter 10, we look back through verse 38 through verse 42. I want to point out to you that Martha was hospitable and received him, received Jesus. In verse 38, we read that they passed over to that village, a certain village, and Martha had a house there. That's where they lived. And Martha received him into her house. Now, there's two things that immediately come out to this. One is she absolutely had the normal care of her household. Isn't that true for you today? If you have a house, you have the care of that household. I mean, it takes time and takes effort. You have to work on it. You have to keep it clean. You have to repair it sometimes. And you just have the normal duties of household responsibilities, correct? But when you have guests come in, here she is. She has her household. Now she has this entourage come to her house. Jesus with his disciples, the apostles following after, they stopped by her house. She received him. That means that she received them as well. We're not talking one person for lunch. We're talking about a number of people coming in anywhere, could have ranged anywhere from 12 to 20 people coming in to her home. But she was very hospitable, opened up her home, come on in. You see that in verse 38. Well, as a result, you glance into verse 40 once again, and you find that Martha worked hard at being a good hostess. She has all these people there. Verse 40 says that Martha was cumbered about with much serving. And so she being a hostess, they're in her house. She's going to do all that she can to make them comfortable. She's going to do what she can to provide for them, to meet their needs. She's going to be a good hostess. Now, the scripture says that she was cumbered with much serving. That word cumbered means to distract. So she was distracted. She was over busy. The word actually means to draw, like to draw a sword, but then it's connected with a preposition, which means to round. And when a person draws a sword, they usually are going to fight with the one that's ahead of them. That's the reason why they draw the sword. But when they draw it and then swing it around, it's because other things are in the way. And so you can just kind of get an idea, two people in a sword fight, and a guy draws his sword, and then he just starts hacking all over. He's being distracted. And that's the idea behind this word. She was cumbered about. She had too much on her plate. Did you ever do that? Ever have too much on your plate? Too much going on? She was distracted. She's the hostess. All these people are upon her in the house, and you can just imagine the responsibility that she has, and she wants to be everything just perfect. Isn't that natural? Certainly it's the case. And so she was cumbered about with much serving. And that word means exactly that. It's a serving. It's a service. It's an attendance. And it's where we get our word deacon from, one who ministers in labor. And so she had all these responsibilities. That was her duty. And she was cumbered about with that. She was distracted by all those things. Now, Jesus was in her midst, but she was busy doing all these other things. And I want you to note the scripture says that it was much serving. It wasn't just a little bit here or a little bit there. It was a lot on her. She was just hustling and bustling. You kind of see her running from room to room and carrying things out and taking things in and carrying about and providing for this. And are you sure you got everything you need? Do you have enough water to wash your feet? Do you want a napkin? I mean, all kinds of things that's going on that she's trying to take care of this group that has come to her house. Well, you glance into verse 40, and she's just working herself to the bone. She's frantic, running around, trying to be a good hostess. And it mentions in verse 40 that she notices a disparity, and she requests help. She came to the Lord and said, "Dost thou not care that my sister hath left me alone to serve? So bid her, therefore, that she help me." Now, she was sitting at his feet. She was listening to him. And Martha finally has enough of it. She comes to Jesus and says, "Hey, she isn't doing anything to help me. Would you have her get up and give me some help?" So she saw a disparity. Does that ever agitate you when you see a disparity like that? You're in the workplace. You're working hard. Your coworkers, they're kicking back. They're over there chatting at the water fountain. Doesn't that kind of anger you a little bit? You're working hard. You're giving them 8 hours a day. You're staying right with it. And, other people, they just kind of suck the time away. That kind of irritates you. People come to your house, you're doing all the work, nobody's helping. It can get to you. Well, that's the way it was for her. And normally family do help. Friends do pitch in. They all lend a hand. And I'm thankful that when we have dinners here like we had last week with the 4th of July and we had the lunch, you know, everybody pitches in. Everybody does something that helps out. That's a good thing. Everybody normally lends a hand. Normally, I think Mary would have been helping her if it had been other occasion, but since Jesus was there, she wanted to sit at Jesus' feet. She wanted to focus on him. And so Martha's left to do all the work by herself, and she was nearly overwhelmed with it. You can almost see her, the perspiration coming off of her. She's bobbing her head. She's running around all over the place, just all wired up. And she really just comes to Jesus and asks practical help. Would you just have her help me? And any of you ladies that has ever entertained any number of people at all knows exactly where she was coming from, don't you? So you can kind of identify with her. You know what it's like. And so here she is. She's hard at work. But how does Jesus respond to her? And it's verse 41 and verse 42, which we're going to really concern ourselves with today. Martha was rebuked by Jesus because her emphasis was really in the wrong place. Look at these verses once again. Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." He doesn't say, "Mary, go help out." What he does is rebukes Martha. She's just being a good hostess. Now, I want to submit unto you that Jesus didn't say her work was improper. He didn't say, well, you're doing the wrong thing. It's not right for you to do this. You shouldn't take care of us. You shouldn't provide for us. You shouldn't be helping us. He didn't say that. He didn't rebuke her because the work was wrong. Jesus didn't say that the work was to be neglected. He didn't say drop everything, neglect everything, and spend time with me. He didn't say that either. What's happened? She's gotten way off balance, hasn't she? She's gotten off focus. An overemphasis on all this duty. What Jesus did say to her, and you can look into the text, even though these words are not specifically mentioned from the English language, Jesus did say that she was too meticulous and worrisome. She was so concerned about what was going on, she forgot about Him. And then we also find, if you glance at that passage, that Jesus did say that investment in spiritual things is a good thing. Mary had chosen to sit at the feet of Jesus. That was a good thing. And Jesus said it was a good thing. And it was needful. And so I'll remind you that investment in spiritual things is always a good investment. And then I would submit unto you that Jesus implied that the work was temporary while the spiritual was eternal. The reason I say that, because you look at the end of that verse, in verse 42, it's the contrast that Mary has chosen that which is needful, and it says that it's that which shall not be taken away from her. Whereas all that busy work that she's doing, that Martha's doing, providing and taking care of and bringing water and bringing food and all that she's doing, trying to be the great hostess that she was, that's all temporal. That's all going to pass. That's all going to be over. But Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, getting instruction from Him, spending time with the Lord, you know what? That's eternal. And that makes a difference for a very, very long time, doesn't it? And so Jesus implied, that's not a straight statement, but we see that implication is there. So we look at the dialogue, we see it from verse 38 down through verse 42, you get the gist of the text. Now the title of my message is, and it was in a question form, are you careful when troubled? Now you see right away, I got that from verse 41. And so Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Are you today careful and troubled? Careful and troubled. Now, what do those two words mean? So we see the dialogue. I want to think about the definitions of these two words. First of all, the word careful. According to the tools that I have in translating Greek terms and definitions and dictionaries, the word careful here means to be anxious or solicitous. It is to expend careful thought. It is to concern oneself. The main root of the word that is used here in the text means that which is you have a care or an anxious interest in. Now, when you think about this term and you see the applications and how it's used in the New Testament Scripture and how it's translated for us, there are two nuances behind this word. Now, the main root, as I said unto you, means a care. You have a concern. And an anxious interest. Now, there's just a slight difference between those two. And so these two nuances come out from that. One, it means, of course, the word would mean care. It means to be concerned, but that care and concern has a proper perspective to it. The reason I say that is because over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25, the Apostle Paul makes a statement that the members of the church ought to have a care one for another. And he uses this word. Now, would you, for any instance, have an idea that Paul is submitting that the membership should care for one another in the same sense that Martha's running around like a chicken with her head cut off? Absolutely not. You wouldn't think that. But Paul is expressing the idea there ought to be care. There ought to be concern. You know, the members of this church ought to care one for another. The members of the family in Christ ought to care one for another. Now, the Apostle Paul also makes a statement over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and or 11 rather, verse 28, where he talks about that upon him daily came the care of the churches. Do you see the Apostle Paul running around frantic, wringing his hands, worrying about all the churches that he dealt with? I don't see that at all, but I do see the Apostle Paul with responsibility, with compassion, with concern, with care for the churches. And so that's one nuance of the word, but mostly the term, when you see it translated in the Scriptures and in the New Testament Scriptures, has the second nuance to it. And that is the idea that it's most often used this way, when, and it's used in this passage, thou art careful. That is that it's an improper care. It is an inordinate concern. Vine, in his word study, says that it conveys the thought of anxiety. Now, we understand that too, don't we? You ever have care, concern, and boy, it's running you right off the rail. It's too much. It's too heavy. You're frantic. Again, anybody who has ever entertained individuals can, in a house situation, can connect with Martha and all the responsibility that's going on. So you have the idea of careful. Again, the anxious, expending careful thought concerning yourself. We're going to readdress these in just a second. But there's a second word that I wanted to define, and it's just not the matter of being careful, but it's being troubled. He says, you're careful and troubled. This word troubled means to stir up. It is to throw into a state of disquiet. The main root of this word means an uproar. It is an outward expression of mental agitation. You ever see anybody do that? Have you ever done that? Sure you have. You get a little bothered. You start thinking about something. It just issues you a little bit, rubs you the wrong way, and you just let that thing fester. And it just keeps going on and just keeps going on, keeps going on, and then finally you just kind of explode, don't you? That's the idea behind the word troubled. Now, Martha, you're careful and troubled. I can just see her as she's running around the house doing these things. It didn't take her long to figure out where Mary was. And it went into her heart and brain, and she knew, you know what, she ought to be helping me. But she bites her tongue. She just keeps on working. She keeps on laboring. But the more she goes, the angrier she became, the more upset she became, because she's doing all the work and Mary's doing nothing. You can see that. You can understand that concept, can't you? And then finally she expresses it, comes to Jesus and speaks to him about that. And so we have the definition of these two words. And what I would like to do now, and if you're following along on the outline in the back of the prayer list in the bulletin, you'll see I want to mention a description here. And what I would like to do is I'm looking at the definitions that we just gave about careful and troubled. I want to apply it to Martha and see if indeed she fits the bill here by definition of the things that she were doing and by the terms that Jesus used. There are five things I want to bring out to you. Number one, under this description of Martha, by definition, Martha appears to be aware of the needs and is organized. You say, where do you get that out of the definition? The definition means to have expend careful thought. Some people are more organized than other people. If we were going to have entertain people at our house, we're not going to wait till the last second to do something. Guarantee you, me and my wife are going to put some time into it, especially my wife. She's going to think about it. She's going to ponder it. She's going to make plans. She's going to program. She's going to organize. Get that thing. She's going to expend some thought on it, right? Now, these people, it appears to just show up upon Martha, but she knows. Hey, I know what these people mean. I know it means water so they can wash their feet off. I know that it means food, provision. I need to come up with some seating for them. I really doubt she could run out to the shed and grab a couple folding chairs and bring it in for them. You know, it's just a different society. And here she is, but she's organized. She's got the thing. She's got everything under control as far as she can tell. She knows what she needs to be doing, and she's thought about it, but she begins to think too much about it. And that's where we get into problems. Nothing wrong with being responsible. Nothing wrong with being organized. But you can think about something way too much. And you can just let it consume you. And that's where Martha ended up being. The second thing is that Martha knew the work needed to be done. And certainly as the hostess, seeing it needed to be done, she jumped in and did it. Now the definition said that under this word, it is to concern oneself. Some people see a need and they never lend a hand. Martha wasn't that way. She saw the need and she jumped in and said, well, this needs to be done. I'm going to do it. It was her responsibility. She accepted the responsibility and she started working. Well, that's still according to the definitions of which we had. So we see her seeing the need, getting in, doing work. Number three, Martha became anxious, upset, and worried over the tasks at hand. Now, that's the main thought behind this word careful anyway. That's the primary usage of the term. And we know by context that's exactly what happened to her. And so stress and anxiety took over. Has that ever happened to you? Things start going pretty good, and then all of a sudden stress and anxiety can just kick you right in and upset you. It'll do it. And it was doing it to her. And so Jesus says, you're careful and your trouble. Number four, Martha, therefore, was visibly upset and troubled. She may have been trembling for all I know. I wasn't there. I can't really know for sure. But I believe that it was something that was visible. The word troubled means to stir up. And she likely became nervous and jittery, perhaps even trembling because of the overwork that she was trying to accomplish. She just didn't have enough hands, just couldn't get it all in. She needed some help. We've seen this in our society, haven't we? You know what this is like. And that's where Martha had arrived. So Jesus is aptly describing her being careful and troubled. The last thing I submit unto you is that Martha became agitated and expressive. And we saw that in the definition, that it was an outward expression of mental agitation. And you know what? She became very visible and very vocal. She had enough of it. She's fed up. She can't take it anymore. She runs to Jesus. She says, "Won't you let her help me? I'm doing all this by myself." And so we do get an apt description of Martha here, and the words that Jesus used are just spot on, aren't they? And so Jesus says that Martha is very careful and troubled about many things. And Jesus rebuked her for that. Now, the next point of my message, as we thought about here, the dialogue, the definitions, and the description, is the discernment. And what I would like to do here is just ask ourselves, what can we glean from this passage? Just looking at the story, what can we learn from it? What can we glean? What can we take away with it? There are six things I want to give to you. Number one, be careful. Being careful and troubled will distract us from God. Do you ever stop to think about that? What's her problem here? He says, "You're careful and troubled. Mary's the one sitting at his feet. She's busy doing everything else." It can distract you from the Lord. It can distract you from the things of the Lord. Now, in this case, that's exactly what it was. Mary's sitting at the feet of Jesus. Martha's busy taking care of the house, taking care of the guests. She could have spent time with Jesus. She might have been able to split it up, maybe to secure different help and give her some time with the Lord. But whatever it was, she was so busy, she had no time for Jesus. And I'll tell you, my friend, you can become so busy with the things of this life, you have no time for God. And if that's the case, I want you to know you're too busy. If you don't have any time for Jesus Christ, you have no time for your Savior, you are careful and troubled, I guarantee you. You're overwhelmed. You need to spend time with your Lord. Now, you also understand that even while you're doing ministry, you can become so anxious over those things that you can be distracted from the things of God. Yes, it's easy to do, even while you're doing the work. I remember when we had our 35th anniversary services and we had everything planned for that. And usually I'm pretty good at organization. I'm pretty good at getting things spot on and all that. Usually I'm meticulous and perfectionist. You ask my wife, she'll tell you. And usually that's right on. But what that does too, it also causes a great stress in me. I can be distracted and really miss the focus of what's going on. Well, being careful and troubled will distract us from God. Number two, being careful and troubled will result in a poor disposition. Do you see you're getting a little agitated here, a little quick on the draw? Somebody says, "Hey, I'd like a soft drink," and she says, "Get it yourself." You know, I mean, well, you got two hands, get up. You know, you can do it. You got 2 feet, and you do it. Did you ever notice that when you get on edge like that, you snap real quick? It's easy, isn't it? And that's because, you know what, we're careful and troubled. And that's going to take us to a poor disposition. We're just right on the edge. It doesn't take much to set us off or to push our buttons. Number three, being careful and troubled will cause us to see others in a negative light. You see Martha's perspective? Mary isn't doing anything. She's lazy. Now, Mary's really just sitting at the feet of Jesus, getting all that she can from her Lord. But she sees Mary in a negative light. She just isn't carrying her weight. Where I used to work at in a machine shop up north, they used to call some people dead weight. And the problem was, I was an inspector. Well, inspectors are non-productive people. I mean, we don't make product. We don't produce product. We don't get product out the door. And so they used to say that I was dead weight. Well, I was always checking their stuff because they never could do it right. And if they could do it right, they wouldn't need me. But as an inspector, that was just part of my job. But since I didn't bring money into the company, from a productive standpoint, they called me dead wait. Well, they were wrong with that. I actually saved the company a lot of money because I kept their stuff from going out the door and losing customers. But beside the point, it is, what we'll do is we'll see people in a negative light. If we're careful and troubled, we'll be critical of other people. Number four, being careful and troubled will often cause us to have a distorted view about ourselves. Not only do we see people in a wrong light, we think we're better than what we really are. Look at me, I'm doing all the work. Where is everybody? I'm the only one doing anything around here. And you know, that's why preachers have to be very careful about commending people and thanking people from the pulpit, because invariably we leave somebody out. And everybody lends a hand, and everybody helps out, and people do things in their own way, and some do more than others. But you know what? If you don't happen to name somebody, they get offended. Well, that's not the point. Is we just want to say thanks. And so I've learned to be very, very general just about, because you don't want to leave anybody out, because when people get a distorted view about themselves, they become very offended very easily. And Martha got to that place. I'm the only one working here. Where's Mary? Yeah, she's sitting over at the feet of Jesus. She's not lifted a finger. Man, she's not anything. I'm doing everything. Number five, being careful and troubled will often cause us to focus on the present alone. What is that? Martha's concerned about the get-together. Well, I can't blame her. It's a lot of responsibility. When my son graduated high school, you have a graduation party. It's a lot of responsibility. You got to take care of everybody that showed up, and you have to have food and all these kind of things. When we had our anniversary, a lot of responsibility. We want to have all that. You remember when we had that anniversary, 35th anniversary, and the food didn't show up? Isn't that a thrill? That'll set you off. Man, I remember during the service, I could hear the clinging and clanging in the back, and ladies are running around. I think they were careful and troubled because the caterer didn't show up with the food, and here we are, anniversary service, no food. Now, wise as they were, they went in all directions trying to find whatever they could find to scrounge up. And when I got out, we got out of service, and they told me, said, we don't have any food. Man, I about went through the roof. You got to be kidding me. What do you do? Well, it all worked out. But you know, the idea is that we'll often just think this is all there is right here. You know, we survived. We had chicken. Well, we survived, didn't we? It was good. We even got a free dinner after that later, remember? But it was all present. It was momentary. It didn't mean that much really in the moment, did it, as compared to spiritual things? And what will happen is if we can become careful and troubled and we become like Martha, all our eggs are in the basket right now and it just bothers us for right now and we focus only for right now and we're not thinking about any other time. And that's why we're so agitated. That's what happened to her. And I think we can learn from that these things will distract us where we're only focusing on today. And then let me give you the last thing is this that I believe we can learn from this passage is being careful and troubled. We certainly all understand that it will adversely affect our health. They've done enough studies over the past decades about what stress will do to you. I'm not saying be irresponsible. I'm not saying quit taking obligation and just shirking your duty. I'm not saying any of that. But you don't want to become careful and troubled. You know why? Because your blood pressure shoots up about 15, 20 points. You're always on edge. Your nerves are shot. You're tense all the time. You can't stand it. Why? You're careful and troubled. And what that'll do is give you an early grave. It'll give you a heart attack. It'll provoke a stroke. So you have to be on guard. You have to learn to kick back sometime. You have to take your care, take your responsibility, but handle it in a proper fashion. Martha, at this point, was not. Jesus rebuked her for it. And so we see some things that we can glean from the passage, and I pray that it has been helpful to you. Now, the last point I want to mention to you in my message are the deductions. What do I deduce from this? And really what this is a conclusion. And so in my conclusion, there are some things, and I have some sub-points I'm going to give to you in just a second, so we're not quite done yet. Don't start locking up and closing up yet. First of all, care and responsibility are good things. Be responsible. Be responsible. You have obligations, fulfill them. Be a person of your word. You have duty, care for that duty. Have a concern. Nothing wrong with that. Number two, anxiety, anxiousness, and agitation are bad things. If that care, if that obligation, if that responsibility causes you to be upset and nervous and on edge all the time, that is not a good thing. You can learn it from the passage. Walter Kelly said this, and I quote, "Worry is faith in the negative, trust in the unpleasant, assurance of disaster, and belief in defeat. Worry is wasting today's time to clutter up tomorrow's opportunities with yesterday's troubles. A dense fog that covers a 7-city block area, 100 feet deep, is composed of less than one glass of water divided, into 60,000 million drops. No, there's not much there, but it can cripple an entire city. When I don't have anything to worry about, I begin to worry about that." You ever felt like that? Anxiety, anxiousness, and agitation are not good things. Someone said, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but doesn't get you anywhere. And you think about that, that's true, isn't it? Well, let me give you then resolutions to inordinate care. How can you not be a Martha? How can you keep from being agitated and anxious? There's some things you need to learn, and we're going to list them to you, some references that I'm going to ask you to turn to. There are 8 of them. We're just going to hit them like that, and want you to glean from it, learn from it. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. You've gained the lesson from the passage. You can lose Luke chapter 11. Philippians chapter 4. 8 things I think you need to learn if you want to get a hold of this anxiousness and anxiety and get rid of it, and resolutions to your inordinate care. Number 1, learn to pray. Philippians 4, 6. Paul wrote the church of Philippi and said, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." That word careful, it's the same word we see in our text. It's the anxiousness, the interest, the being overboard on it. You're just all stirred up and troubled. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Worry over nothing. Pray over everything. So learn to pray. Number 2, Proverbs chapter 3. You might have this memorized. Proverbs chapter 3. Not only do you need to learn to pray, secondly, you need to learn to commit. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Trust in Him. Acknowledge Him. Commit it to Him. Whatever you're faced with, give it to the Lord. Pray about it. Learn to pray. Learn to commit. Isaiah chapter 26, one of my favorite verses. Isaiah chapter 26, and in verse 3. In the third aspect, I would submit unto you that you need to learn to trust. Isaiah 26, 3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee." Why did Martha get all upset? She quit trusting, didn't she? She was agitated because the Scripture says that you will keep that person in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. If I'm troubled, if I'm agitated, if I'm anxious and anxiety-filled and just have worry all the time, I am not trusting God the way I ought to trust Him. And so we need to learn to pray, learn to commit, learn to trust. And anxiety and worry comes from doubt, doesn't it? How's this going to work out? How's this going to play out in the end? How would I handle that? What if this happens? What if that happens? And all that doubt will cause us to be anxious and worrisome. George Mueller said this, "The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety." We must learn to trust. We must learn to trust. We've looked at 3. Turn over to the book of Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Resolutions to inordinate care. Number 4, learn to exercise faith. We need to trust. Well, we want to exercise faith. And where I've directed you to turn over to the book of Matthew chapter 14 is the story about Peter when Jesus walked upon the water and Jesus was coming to them, and Peter said, "Hey, if it's you, bid me come to the water." And he said, "Yeah, come on out." And so he got out and went into the water. Now look at the text, Matthew chapter 14, verse 28. "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water. He said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and he beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. I think any of us would have done that, to be honest with you. Personally, I wouldn't have got out of the boat. But he got out, walked on the water. When he saw the wind and the wave, what happened? He began to sink. How did Jesus react to that? Immediately, Jesus stretched out forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, where's the rebuke? O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Why did he become afraid? Because he began to doubt. He questioned God. And I'll tell you, I'm sure that the anxiety came upon him real quick when that happened. You ever been startled and it just kind of scares you and you have this adrenaline rush? And you think you're going to pass out because all of a sudden it's just, oh, boom, all there. Can you imagine Peter walking on the water and he's going along, gliding along on top of that, but he begins to see the winds and the waves and he begins to doubt and then he starts to sink. What happens? He knows immediately. I'm going to go down here, and I can just imagine the adrenaline rush that Peter had as his feet started sinking through the water. And why? Because he did not exercise faith. So we need to learn to trust, and we must exercise faith. Now, I also want to express to you, number five, learn to accept God's providence. I'm just going to quote this verse to you for the sake of time. Romans 8:28, very wonderful promise. Huh? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Do you know all things work together for good? You have to trust God's providence. You need to accept God's providence. Romans 8:28 will help you do that. Know that all things, didn't say everything was good, it said that all things will work for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Go back to Matthew chapter 6. If you're in chapter 15 still, you should be able to go back just a few pages. Number six, learn to take things one day at a time. Now it doesn't say that you don't have to. It doesn't say that you neglect everything in the future. But what I am saying to you is, man, if you're worrying about everything that's going to happen down the road, what about today? Jesus teaches that, and it's in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. He says this: "Take therefore no thought for the morrow." For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I mean, isn't there enough on your plate today? Isn't there enough concern today? Again, if you know I'm going on a trip tomorrow, I'm going to do some planning today, but I don't worry over that. I'm not upset. I'm not anxious over it. There's not one speck of anxiety in that. But you know what? Some people will do. It says, take no thought for the morrow. And he says, because sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Do you realize that that matter of taking no thought is the word for careful? Don't be careful. Don't be all upset. Don't get all wired about what's going to happen tomorrow or the next week or the next year. You got enough today to worry about it, to be concerned about. Don't be in the negative. Don't have inordinate care. Learn to take it one day at a time. And, of course, we look into our text. We need to learn to prioritize. In Luke chapter 10, verse 42, Jesus said, you know what? Mary has chosen the good part. Learn to prioritize. I'm not saying sell everything you have and go move on a mountaintop. I'm not saying that shirk off every other responsibility and come here and we'll put you to work in the church. Now, if God leads you to do that, we'll find you something to do. What I am saying is you need to learn to prioritize. You know what? You have a home. You need to take care of it. That's proper. That's biblical. I think that's good Christian conduct and ethic to take care of your house. You ought to cut the yard and you ought to repair the things that need repaired. You need to keep it clean and so forth. That's just good Christian ethic. But that should not be driving you up the wall. You have to prioritize. And you can't let that be all that you do. Don't let things take you away from God. And even if you're doing things for the Lord, don't let it take you away while you're doing it. You have to learn to prioritize what really is the most important thing here. And the last one is this, 1 Peter chapter 5. You might have this memorized, so you may not have to turn over there. But the last thing is this, you need to learn to rely upon the Lord. Can we do that? 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. You know that word there in the text, casting all your care? That's the same word that we're looking in our passage in Luke chapter 10. That means careful, anxious, anxiety, casting all your care upon Jesus. Why? Because He cares for you, and it's a different word. That just means care and concern. But you take your anxiety, the things that cause you worry, cast them upon the Lord. Why? Because He cares for you. Doesn't Hebrews tell us in chapter 4 that we can come boldly to the throne of grace and find grace to help in a time of need? I encourage you to pray. So what did we see? Resolutions to inordinate care. Learn to pray. Learn to commit. Learn to trust. Learn to exercise faith. Learn to accept God's providence. Learn to take things one day at a time. Learn to prioritize. And learn to rely upon the Lord. Hudson Taylor said this, "Let us give up our work, our plans, ourselves, our lives, our loved ones, our influence, our all, right into God's hand. And then, when we have given all over to Him, there will be nothing left for us to be troubled about." That's a consideration, isn't it? So give everything to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you won't have anything to worry about, huh? Well, the last thing I want to mention as in my deductions or the conclusion is this. These truths that I mentioned unto you and these resolutions on how you can resolve inordinate care, all these things really apply to the Christian and to the Christian only, because only a Christian can respond that way. Only a Christian can respond in faith and trust and belief in the promises of God and relying upon the Lord and things like that. So what that means is, if you're here outside of Jesus Christ, you need the Savior. One, you're already under sin and under condemnation, and you're on your way to hell if you're not born again. So you need Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Would you repent? Would you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved today? But if you're saved today, what this means is that as a Christian, I need to walk by faith. You need to walk by faith. The just shall live by faith. And Colossians 2:6 says, and I close, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." How did you receive Christ? How were you saved? It was by faith, wasn't it? How are you going to live your life? It can only be by faith. And if you drop off from faith and you want to take all the burden and care upon yourself, you can, but you're going to be filled with stress. You're going to be anxious all the time. You're going to be agitated. You're going to worry yourself right into the grave. And Jesus told Martha, "Martha, you're careful and troubled about many things." So let's not be Martha today. Let's not be Martha. And so you've heard the message. I pray that God has taken these things and applied it to your heart. And He'll just meet the needs of your soul. And Christian, you might rely upon Him. Cast your care upon Him, because He does care for you. And if you're lost, I point you to Jesus, the mighty to save. I can't save you. This church can't save you. Only Jesus is the Savior. He's the mediator between God and man. And He alone can give you eternal life. He's the way to the Father. Would you repent and call upon Jesus and be saved today? I'd like for us to stand and sing. Brother Paul, would you please come? The invitation simply is this, and I realize that very little of this message has been evangelistic, but that's okay, because perhaps you're there, you've been troubled, you're upset, you're worried. This would be an excellent time for you to bow your head and just talk to the Lord and say, "God, you know what, I've been trying to carry this burden all alone, and I can't do it anymore. I'm giving it to You." Would you hand it over to Him? Would you trust Him? Would you rely upon Him? Would you ask God to give you the grace that you need to learn these things so that you can be a better Christian, so you won't be distracted, so you won't be worried, so you won't lose your health, that you would be found faithful. Father, bless Your word to our hearts, and we ask You to save the lost, and we ask You to strengthen the saved. Thank You for Your word, and we pray that You would apply it to our hearts by Your Spirit according to Your will. Thank You for what You're going to do. And so we commit these things to You today, and we love You and we honor You. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Paul?